Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tuesday morning, July the 3rd, 2007. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on Breaking the Power of Addictions. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
In the last part of Hosea chapter 4, one of the last verses says, "And the people without understanding are ruined. Harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding." So the people without understanding are ruined. Understanding is the truth that sets me free. Not sets me free, makes me free. Romans 13, 12, and 14 says, "Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh." Jeremiah 48, 26, and I'm just going to read a few verses in 48, but it's talking about Moab, which is a picture of the apostate church, full of pride. "Moab has been at ease since his youth. He has also been undisturbed on his lees. Neither has he been emptied from vessel to vessel, still living after the flesh, nor has he gone into exile. Therefore, he retains his flavor and his aroma has not changed." Verse 26 says, "Make him drunk, for he has become arrogant toward the Lord." Jeremiah 51:7 talks about Babylon, which is a picture of the whore harlot church. Babylon is the picture of the church or the church member that won't put to death the deeds of the flesh. It says in verse 7, "Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord, intoxicating all the earth. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are going mad." Read all of Jeremiah 51, but I just want to bring you to this one, verse 57. "And I'll make her princes and her wise men drunk, her governors, her prefects, and her mighty men, that they may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up, declares the Lord." 1 Peter 4, 3-7 says, "For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousal, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And in all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into your same excess of dissipation. And they malign you, but they shall give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer." Proverbs 31, 6 and 7 says, "Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more." Luke 21 through 34 says, "Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell upon the face of this earth, but keep on the alert at all times." You know, drugs keep us in a stupor. We can't be alert if we're bummed out on all kinds of legal drugs or illegal drugs. And nowadays, legal drugs are more deadly than illegal drugs. Hebrews 6:12 says, "Don't be sluggish." So wine's associated with nakedness. Noah was naked. He got drunk. Proverbs 23:21, "Drowsiness clothes a man in rags, for heavy drinkers and gluttons will come to poverty." You know, God associates drunkenness with food, too. Because of harlotry, Lamentations 4:21, spiritual adultery says, "Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, who dwells in the land of Uz, but the cup will come around to you as well. You will become drunk and make yourself naked." The whole book of Lamentations is to the harlot church. I'm going to make you drunk and naked. Yet there's movements going along, and you may get mad at me, but there's movements going around that it's the work of the Holy Ghost. You better be careful. like our brother said last night, there's going to be signs and wonders, but don't, I mean, like the prophecy that came forth through Stan, is there's going to be false prophecies, false prophets, false signs and wonders. Now let's take the part that says be filled with the Holy Spirit. We did, do not be drunk with wine. Now let's do be filled with the Holy Spirit. So would you agree with you, if you're not filled, you're drunk. And you're drunk on whatever you're using to fix you. Because if you're trusting anything but the Holy Spirit, you're a spiritual adulterer, and we've been reading scriptures that show you that you'll become drunk. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a picture of the Holy Spirit controlling your life. And evidence of being filled is that you're speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and you're singing and making melody in your heart to God. Not if you, you know, personally, I believe, you know, tongues is a gift, but I had the gifts of tongues 10 years. I mean, I was filled with the Spirit 10 years before I ever had the gift of tongues. Yes. And so, 1 Thessalonians says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Acts 5:32, He gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. So you can speak in tongues, but it's not a sign of nothing unless you're full of God and submitted to Him. John 15 says, if you abide in Him and He abides in you, you'll produce much fruit. Galatians 5:22. You show the potter's wheel now. You can, when you're on the potter's wheel, you're submitted to God. The fruit of the Spirit's being produced in your life, and there is no law. So there is a law when you're not submitted to God. You come back under the law. 1 Timothy 5:8. If you'll go there, please. 1:8. I don't know if I said 5:8, but 1:8. Verse 8 says, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous man, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers and sexually immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, so any sin. So if I'm yielded to God, dwelling in a secret place of the Most High God, under God's umbrella, then there is no law. My life will produce the fruit of the Spirit, that's abiding in Christ. There is a law when I'm practicing the deeds of the flesh. Now, the potter does everything, doesn't he? The potter turns the potter's wheel, the potter takes the junk out of the clay, the potter beats the bubbles out of the clay, and I'm getting a bunch of bubbles beat out of me, you too. God's coming for a pure bride. And so He takes out the junk. He fashions the clay. He molds it. He makes it. He fires it. He beats the bubbles out. He takes the junk out. All the clay does is one thing. Give up. Yield to the potter. Right? And see, I have to suffer to do that. It means I'm coming under God's control. It means that I'm going to have to be willing to suffer in order to break my addiction. I don't like to suffer, and I'm sure you don't either. Okay, the next one. Go ahead and switch it to the next. Oh, this is the one. This is a picture of being in God's refuge. There is no law. Outside, the fiery darts are flying. Outside, there is a law. Outside, I crave. When my mother and father took, my mother took me to the diet pill doctor, she put me out there where the arrows are flying. She put me under unlawful authority. You can switch to the next one. Okay, one more. Okay, these two, you know, there's a time of decision. Are you going to get on the potter's wheel and give up your life that you might find it? John says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it what? Produces much fruit. Go ahead and do the next one. Is that all of it? Would you find the one that says the potter's wheel and get the second one on there while I'm looking up another scripture? Go to 1 Peter Chapter 4, the one that says the potter's wheel. And then switch it. Go ahead and switch it one more time. Yeah. Okay, see, if I'm trying to do it in the flesh, if I'm trying to turn the potter's wheel, guess what? I'm self-righteous. I try and try and try and I fail. I try to quit. I'm trying to fail without going back and finding out why my serotonin's level, why my dopamine's level. And I'm trying to quit in the flesh, and I substitute that addiction for something else. And see, that's a work of the flesh. Back up now to the first one. Go ahead and back up to the first one. You see, when I'm on the potter's wheel, the potter does everything. Right? He balances my body chemistry. Because I'm in peace. And I'm not striving or fretting or stewing. You know, if you grew up with parents that expected you to perform, then you think God wants you to turn the potter's wheel when He wants you to abide in Christ. If you grew up with performance-oriented parents and you had to be performance-oriented, you think you have to do it yourself. I grew up with this false doctrine. The Lord helps those that help themselves. And I'm telling you, I felt guilty because I couldn't help myself. And then one day when God delivered me in 1969 of the diet pills, Jack Taylor, a friend of mine, was teaching on letting go and letting God. And he said, God helps those that admit they're helpless. Amen? And that was a relief for me. Okay, 1 Peter 4:1 says, arm yourself with the same purpose that as Christ suffered in the flesh, so you suffer in the flesh. For suffering in the flesh, sin loses its power. So for me to get on the potter's wheel, I have to suffer in the flesh. And when I get on the potter's wheel, sin loses its power over me. And that's the law of the life of the Spirit in Christ Jesus that sets me free from the law of sin and death. That's when another law takes over in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Okay, 1 John 3:6 says, whoever abides in me does not sin. So, you know, the Scripture says that I'm to be holy as He's holy and perfect as He's perfect. And I think I have to turn that potter's wheel to make myself perfect. You know when I'm perfect as He's perfect, holy as He's holy? It's when I'm yielded 100% to the potter. Then it's His righteousness and His holiness. Amen? Living in me, because now instead of the fruit of the flesh manifesting itself through me, now the character and nature of Jesus is manifesting in me and I have self-control. Romans 6:5-9 says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So that requires suffering. Colossians 2:2. Would you turn it to the second one now? Go to Colossians 2:2. Not 2:2, but 2:20. Colossians 2:20. It says, if you've died with Christ to the elemental principles of the world, why do you keep on living in the world? Do not submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to the things destined to perish with the using in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. These are matters which have to be sure the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are all of no value against fleshly indulgence. You see, when I'm trying to do it myself, it looks good, but it's of no value against fleshly indulgence because I'm doing it in the flesh. Now back up to 1 again. Just hold it there. That represents our idols. You know, in certain parts of the country, little monkeys are caught when they put a banana in a cage and the little monkey sticks his little skinny hand in there and he grabs that banana and his lust for that banana, he won't let go and he's captured. All he has to do is let go. And that's all we have to do, but we listen to the lies of the enemy that says when we let go, the whole world's going to pot. Okay, back it up to 1. Yeah. And that's the only thing that's of value against the deeds of the flesh. That's the only thing that is of value against fleshly indulgence, because it's abiding in Christ. He does it for you. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets you free from the law of sin and death. It's like the airplane. The law of gravity pulls an airplane down, and that's our struggle to give up our way, our will, our drugs, our whatever we're fixing ourselves with. But it says the minute we let go, it's like the plane, the law of aerodynamics takes it up. And after you suffer a little while, the God of all grace will Himself strengthen, confirm, establish, and perfect you. Proverbs 20 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whoever partakes of it is not wise. Proverbs 31:3 says, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroys kings. You're a king and a priest. This is a mother instructing her son, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine to those whose hearts are heavy. Matthew 12:44 says, when a demon is cast out of a man, he goes and seeks dry places, and he's in unrest. He's tormented. But then he says, I'll return to my house, and when he comes back, and this is your house, when he comes back, then I'm tormented. When he's in the man is tormented. When he's out of the man, he's tormented, and so he needs a person to express himself through. Luke 11:24, if you'll go there, let's read Luke 11:24, and we're almost through. Verse 20, but if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own homestead, his possessions are undisturbed. But when someone stronger than he attacks him and overpowers him, he takes away from him all the armor in which he had relied and distributes his plunder. And so, the strong man over addictions is an unloving spirit. And so that's giving this strong man, it's protecting this strong man. So we have to bind the strong man, but we have to take away his armor. And some of the things that are his armor, I'm going to read these things. If this applies to you, just repent as I'm reading it. Addictions, the addiction itself is an armor. Craving is a drawing to that what I'm addicted to, and my body wants to pitch a fit when I don't get it. Forgetfulness, many drugs destroy the brain cells. Cloudy thinking, substitution, substituting sugar-based products for actual and alcoholic drink. Refusal to face reality. People that are own addicted, they're sometimes in denial. Refusal to accept responsibility, cravings for sugar. Diseases that circle around the alcoholic is hyperglycemia and hypoglycemia. You know, I don't understand this, but I could, like when I shared, sometimes I can eat something, just the least little thing, and it just makes me so sleepy. I believe God is showing me that because of alcoholism coming down, I never knew any of my forefathers to drink, but because of that must be coming down generationally, I must have I don't have hyperglycemia or have hypoglycemia, but it elevates, food elevates my blood sugar, which telling me something is putting too much glucose in my blood. And so I'm asking God for answers. I haven't found it yet, but so hyperglycemia, hypoglycemia, beer belly, excessive weight is sometimes a part of the profile, because when I don't love myself, my rate of metabolism slows down and my rate of burning calories shuts down. Predisposition to fornication, improper sexual relationships, which drives a person to pornography and sex, fornication, adultery, incest, alcoholism. In Alaska, recently I heard a minister say that in Alaska, a female, by the time she's 14, has been raped or molested or improperly touched, or usually by a close family member. There's incest, personal lust gratification, dependency on others or things, poverty, emotionally insecure, rejection, full of shame, selfish, childish. Sometimes it's hard for a person, even that's not an alcoholic but has an alcoholic profile, it's hard for them to stay home even. Pride. Sometimes in the male-female relationship and in an alcoholic profile, the wife becomes like the mother. It's like a mother and son relationship. Running away from home for periods of time, going out and getting drunk, disappearing in binges. Avoiding reality, which includes false repentance, I'll never do it again, which produces guilt. Pouting, a form of control and abuse. Silent treatment, a form of emotional abuse. Fits of rage, fear of man, fear of failure, fear of rejection, self-hatred, hatred of women, hatred of men, hatred of children. Hatred of insecurity. My hatred was hate to be tired, because that means I can't perform. I got to have, every day I've got to accomplish something. And see, that goes back to pleasing my dad and mom.
because they never stopped working. I mean, my mother slept about 3 hours a day, and I mean, even when she had cancer, she only missed 2 weeks of work.
And so emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, multiple fears, jealousy, insanity, guilt, worthlessness, low self-esteem, blame, insecurity in spouse and children, sickness and disease in spouse and children, insanity and depression in the spouse and children, critical spirit, criticism, controlling another, being hard on the family, being cruel to the family, difficult showing love, hard-hearted, never allowing spouse to have joy in anything, sneering at and rejecting what another has done, victims of it feel rejected, are withdrawn and depressed, exhaustion, being overweight, loneliness, confusion, anger, fear of suicide, fear of death, more denial, more cruelty, more hardness, more pride, more self-guilt, more self-hatred, self-pity, suicide. And many of these addictions and these things are in our family tree. You and I are suffering because of what our forefathers have done. And God gives you the ability to choose. And in understanding how to defeat the strong man of addiction, you have to understand it involves, you have to recognize it, take responsibility, repentance, and you'll have to take a stand, and you'll have to be willing to suffer. You may think you're going to die, but you will die if you don't break the addiction. Because God says if you live after the flesh, you're going to die, is what the Word says. Okay, stand up and ask the Lord to show you where your addiction came in. I shared with you, mine came in when my mother quit breastfeeding me and my little sister came along, fear of being displaced. So Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. I want to remove the armor that's given this unloving spirit power. Lord, where did this unloving spirit come in? Lord, would you move among our midst? And Lord, would you give each person a revelation of your love? Lord, cover me with your love. Forgive me, Lord, that I haven't been willing to suffer. Forgive me for wanting a superficial fix. In Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to show me where my fear, where my self-hatred came in Jesus' name. Show me where this Antichrist, unloving spirit came in. You know, I want to say this about the unloving spirit. Mine came in through my dad. I've been told that I'm just like my dad. Mine came in through being critiqued and judged. It's almost like it's like the familiar spirit of the parent that's most like you, in my case. Because it's a generational thing. My dad doesn't feel good about himself. And you know, you have the hardest time with the kid most like you. You're hard on the kid that's most like you. Because you've got him all figured out. You don't like yourself, and you don't like what you see in him because you don't like yourself, right? So Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. And then when you're through repenting of whatever the Lord shows you, then you can sit down. Where is the first time you ever felt like you hated yourself? Or you rejected yourself? Or you did not love yourself? Where did that come in, Lord? Lord, I just ask you to forgive me for hating myself. Forgive me for rejecting myself. Lord, I forgive my parents for hating me and rejecting me. I've been treating myself the way I've been treated. Lord, forgive me for seeking love in all the wrong places. Seeking love through a fix. Father, forgive me for not being led by your Spirit and receiving unto myself again a yoke of bondage and a yoke of slavery. Lord, forgive me for self-bitterness, self-anger, letting this nitpicking demon work in me, this spirit working in me that has nitpicked me, this unloving spirit. I forgive my parents for not teaching me to die to my flesh. Lord, I forgive them for provoking me to anger and not bringing me up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I forgive them for training me up in the way I should not go. I forgive them for not teaching me to love myself with your kind of love, not with haughtiness, not with arrogance, but with your valuation and estimation of me. I forgive my parents for the lack of discipline. Forgive me for not receiving discipline, which has caused me to hate myself. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to bring my body into your peace, into chemical balance. And Lord, I just command my hypothalamus gland to command my endocrine system to produce the proper amounts of serotonin, endorphins, dopamine, chemicals, neurotransmitters that my body needs. In the name of Jesus. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not being led by your Spirit. Forgive me for living after the flesh. Forgive me for adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, sorcery, prescription drugs, hatred, variance, emulations, jealousy, wrath, anger, strife. Forgive me for disputing, seditions, heresies, envy, drunkenness, murder, gluttony, alcoholism, food addiction, caffeine addiction, revelings, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for pornography. God, forgive me for food addictions, turning to other things to comfort myself and to compensate for my feelings of lack, loss, worthlessness, and inadequacy. God, forgive me for shopping addictions, caffeine addictions, workaholic, sex addictions, pornography addictions. God, forgive me for sugar addictions, carbohydrate addictions, sleeping to escape. Forgive me for masturbation, wanting dopamine to be released in my body. God, forgive me for spending money in television and soap operas and gambling. God, forgive me for presenting myself as slaves for obedience to these addictions you've shown me. God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for being bewitched. God, forgive me for trusting in the flesh, trusting in myself, trusting in myself to fix myself. Forgive me for drinking, being drunk with wine, which is excess. Forgive me, Lord, for intemperance, overindulgence, going beyond what is needed and appropriate. Forgive me for glutting myself. God, forgive me for overindulgence, unsaveness, wantonness. Forgive me for being incorrigible, dissolute, wanton, reckless. God, forgive me for not being sober and alert. Forgive me for being drunk on all my addictions. Lord, I want to get on your potter's wheel. I choose to suffer in my flesh. I choose to not sleep as others sleep. Forgive me for giving you lip service, which would cause you to bring on me a spirit of sleep. Forgive me for not loving the truth, which would cause you to send me a strong delusion. Forgive me for not being a doer of the word.
God, forgive me for being deluded. Forgive me for harlotry wine and new wine that's taken away my understanding. Forgive me for not behaving properly as in the day. Forgive me for carousing, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, sensuality, strife and jealousy. Forgive me for having a spirit of Moab in me, spirit of apostasy and pride. God, forgive me for being Babylon, not being willing to put to death the deeds of the flesh. Forgive me for carrying out the desire of the Gentiles in drunkenness and carousal and drinking parties and abominable idolatries. God, forgive me for taking strong drink. Forgive me for bitterness. Forgive me for being bitter toward myself. God, forgive me that my heart's been weighted down with dissipation. Forgive me for being sluggish. Forgive me for gluttony and heavy drinking, which has caused drowsiness to come upon me. God, forgive me for not obeying you. Forgive me for not rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, thanking you for everything. Forgive me for quenching your Holy Spirit. Forgive me for letting sin reign in my mortal body. Forgive me for trying to turn the potter's wheel instead of just yielding to you so you can do the work. God, forgive me for giving my strength to women or men and the things that destroy kings. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I bind the strong man in my life of an unloving spirit. And I take away his armor on which he's relied in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I forgive those who victimized me. I forgive my parents and forefathers for conceiving me out of drunkenness, out of wedlock if they did. I break all inherited alcoholic addictions, drug patterns from my forefathers. I forgive my parents if they did for giving me my first drink or my first drug or not modeling a proper example for me. Lord, I ask you to dislodge the whoredoms and iniquities that are found in my family tree. I renounce codependency that goes with it. Forgive me for calling evil good and good evil in the name of Jesus. Lord, I take accountability for everything I've confessed all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through these things I've confessed, through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus. Now, in Jesus' name, Father God, I ask you to, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you'll go through the systems of every person in this room, that you'll bring about a healing and a deliverance from addictions. I speak to every person's hypothalamus gland, and I command you in the name of Jesus to bring their bodies into chemical balance. I command the hypothalamus gland to command the pineal gland to release serotonin. I command the pituitary gland to release dopamine, and to release all the chemicals, hormones, neurotransmitters that people need. And I just thank you, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to bring every person into your alignment. I thank you, Lord, for your healing power from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to flow through every life. I ask you to bring correction to everybody. Bring correction. Bring balance to all the hormones. Bring balance to the neurotransmitters. Bring balance to their bodies. In the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you now to give each person a revelation of your love. I ask you to show each person how special they are to you. And Lord, when that lying demon comes to tell them how bad they are and how unworthy they are, I ask your voice to come alongside. I ask, Lord, not alongside. I ask that your voice will overpower the voice of the enemy to tell them how precious they are and how special they are to you. In the name of Jesus, praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, mighty God. Lord, we just break the curse of addictions in Jesus' name. Lord, we want you to be our all in all. I ask you to come now, Lord, and I ask you to pick up every person on your hip, as you said. Pick them up on your hip, trottle them lovingly, bounce them up and down on your God's maternal knees, and extend peace to them like a river in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done, for what you're doing even now. Lord, I pray even as they leave this room that your spirit will be so on them to bring about a spiritual healing in their lives in Jesus' name. I ask you to bring everything into alignment in their bodies in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank Him for the truth that makes you free in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask you to bless this food. I ask you to bless Glenn, Patty. I ask you to bless Kevin. I ask you to bless Linda. I ask you to bless all of the precious people that work here and help here. I ask you to bless this camp, bless them with finances. Lord, we just bless their going in, bless their coming out. Thank you for healing Glenn's throat. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. Lord, fill me with love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. I give up my life that I might find it. Amen. Thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.